everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Mr. Ray Allen Ray, engineering and producing the show. It is Monday, September 11th, 2017. It is the 16th anniversary of the terror attacks on America. We'll be talking a little bit about that during the Monday political face-off, and we'll also get some thoughts on it with General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff. My goodness, 16 years ago tonight, General Wickham was with me on Arizona Illustrated on Channel 6 as we tried to figure out what was going on, and the news was getting bits and pieces, but we knew it was such a horrible time. And it's one of those things that if you're old enough, you certainly remember exactly where you were when you heard the news. Anyway, we're coming from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We've got our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, podcasts and all of our archive at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, if you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. We do kick off the show each Monday. With certain exceptions, like last Monday, because it was a federal holiday, we all spent some time with our families on Labor Day. But normally we are here to kick things off with the face-off. Bruce Ash is with us. Mr. Ash in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. And Dr. Don Jorgensen. We welcome Dr. Don back to the show after a couple of months off. He was up in Seattle. Enjoying the Northwest. Don, good to see you again.
Thank you, Bill. I got to tell you, as beautiful as it is up there, it's great to leave the smoke and fire of the Pacific Northwest.
Tough summer up there in the Tucson. Northwest. Don is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, the Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And on Facebook, we thank Mo, and I know Bruce Ash always thanks Mo, because it seems like Bruce and I always have another piece in the pipeline that we're thinking needs to go over to Mo. Isn't that about accurate,
Bruce? Stand by Mo. I have some too. I got some things for you here shortly.
There you go. Bruce, it's good to see you as well.
Well, thank you. You were on vacation a lot, so I missed you.
Well, you know, people say I'm on a vacation a lot. I'll clear it up right now. I take the big trip is the two weeks.
Blah, blah.
I know, at the end of May. Then we always do something the last week before Labor Day. And then when my wife's birthday comes around, yes, there's another trip coming up in mid-October. But we'll get to that at another point. My friends in Florida have been Facebooking me with pictures, and they're very happy because Don and Bruce, the damage, at least with my friends, some tree limbs down, the pool kind of overflowed, almost what you'd get like in a terrible monsoon. Sure, this is a lot more rain and everything, but I think generally those very strict building codes, Don, have paid off in Florida.
They have. Certainly experience with hurricanes has made a difference. I've reached out to friends that I've worked with in Jacksonville. They were surprised by the amount of flooding because, you know, the elevation there's about, 6 inches?
Yeah.
So the St. John's River's overflowed quite a bit. And there's concerns in the poor areas where you don't have those kind of structures you're talking about. But they're well prepared for it. Also talked to friends in Pensacola who thought they were going to get hit, but the mm-hmm. path of the hurricane has moved eastward enough that they're just getting some high winds. So I was relieved that my friends and folks I know there are safe.
What, how about your friends, Bruce, in Florida?
Well, they're all refugees to Georgia. But, you know, I think when we look at both the Harvey storm as well as the Irma storm, a great debt of thanks to the state governments in both Texas and Florida for being as well prepared in advance of the storm, proactive, almost more communications than you could possibly stand on an hourly basis in order to make sure that people were prepared and or, you know, were leaving their areas to avoid problems. And, you know, these sorts of efforts, you know, are a great, great help when it comes to large national disasters like this. Preparedness is so important. And certainly Florida especially did so much work after Andrew and some of the earlier events there to make sure that, that new buildings and retrofitted buildings were able to withstand these kinds of wind events.
Yeah, and I was kind of sampling some of the local TV. Being a media person, I'm always interested to see how this is being covered. And I settled on Wink, W-I-N-K, in Fort Myers. Boy, they did a great job, a CBS affiliate down there. Their chief weather guy was so cool, calm, and collected, gave more information than I've ever seen on TV about weather. And he said, everybody, take a deep breath. We're all going to get through this together. And we have, and the country has. And it was just so refreshing to see somebody not hyping things up.
And I avoided CNN and Fox and MSNBC and CNBC, and we almost exclusively were watching the Weather Channel because those guys were talking more about weather and conditions on the ground, you know, means and conveyances, you know, how to make it, blah, 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 as opposed to all the human stories. I mean, those are, you know, interesting.
And which weatherman is going to be blown off his feet
first?
Exactly.
Right. I mean, you can pretty much, if someone's standing outside, the palm trees are going to be blowing and the wind is going to be throwing rain in your face. So, I mean, after that, whatever. Today is the anniversary of 9/11. Dondi, you know, my own personal feeling 16 years later, I'm so grateful there has not been a follow-up major attack. And I think a lot of that has to, kudos go out to law enforcement who have really stopped, I think, some big incidents before they've happened. But I've always had that feeling along these years since then. It's an uneasy feeling, kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Well, you asked a question off the air that I think leads to a second question. The first question is, are we safer than we were? Well, we're safer from those attacks we know about. We're safer from planes flying into buildings. The question, but we're not safer in many other areas. And the second question that you're answering with that comment is, do we feel safer? No. Okay. And I think it's for two reasons. Number one, the types of attacks have changed. And I think what the law enforcement agencies are doing and the military doing are now finally preparing for the next attacks rather than for the last attacks,
right,
which is too often what happens. Second, we have a complete shift in communications, and this is one of your areas, so that there's a different level of awareness.
Right.
We're talking about 16 years ago. 16 years ago, iPhones did not exist.
Right.
Think about that.
Yes.
Facebook did not exist. Mm-hmm. Twitter did not exist. So the amount, massive amount of communication about all this isn't what it is today, for good and bad.
Yeah.
So I think it's shifted in terms of the threats now. The threats that we're seeing now are things like the domestic terrorism that we're worried about, these lone wolf attackers, whether it's Nazis or white supremacists or folks who are enticed by ISIS and such. That's a different kind of terrorism that we're experiencing now. The mass shootings that have gotten all this attention, whether it's San Bernardino or Orlando or Sandy Hook or Tucson, has created a different feeling because there is that sense that it could happen to anyone. Even though the statistics say otherwise, we had that feeling. Just we have I looked this up, and the research states that we have a 1 in 3.5 million chance of getting killed in a terrorist attack each year. 3.5 million versus 1 in 2,000 chance of getting murdered.
Wow.
But the fear is that.
Bruce, some of your thoughts.
Well, I'm sorry that Don turned the type of terrorism question that Bill had originally stated and turned this into a anti-gun sort of rant. Because this, the unease that people feel, for the most part in this country, still is, with truly the jihadist terror that we've seen, whether it was a 1 in 3.5 million or a 1 in 10 chance of that kind of terror attack happening. But having I got that off my chest, our whole intelligence apparatus now is far more able with some algorithmic and some psychological sort of profiles that they're able to do to have a predictability for different attacks that really didn't exist certainly 16 years ago, and to prevent those sorts of attacks from happening. These are asymmetrical warriors. When we think that we're safe in one area and are now focusing on something else, these are the type of warriors who'll come back again and hit us if we're not on guard. We live in a republic where people have rights, and it's difficult sometimes to counteract this type of homegrown as well as foreign bred terror, given the laws that protect everybody's privacy and so on. But I think that we're doing it far better today. Certainly, our brothers and sisters in Europe have been far more vulnerable, particularly in the last 4 or 5 years or so, to these types of attacks. And they're not necessarily using explosives, and they're not necessarily using guns, and they're using vehicles, and they're using sledgehammers and knives, and all kinds of off-track kind of weapons. But my two sons, one graduated from high school that year of the attacks, and the other graduated from college. Both of them were profoundly changed by this. Their entire adult lives are really, kind of as a after effect of this. One son still works in government after all these years, and the other worked in government for a period of time, and this was part of the reason they did.
It's a good point. You think about folks graduating or even in college now. This is all they've known.
Right.
It's been 16, 17 years. It isn't just guns. It is other things, bombs and such, too. And I agree that law enforcement has come a long way and are using all the tools that the Patriot Act has given them. And that's, I think, still an ongoing discussion that ought to be ongoing about that balance between freedom and security, because we want both. But there's always a trade-off.
It's a difficult balance.
Always. But a great example of the benefit is the fact that the FBI did thwart an attempted bomb attack in Oklahoma City just in the past month.
All right.
Or 2 months, because of their work in cybersecurity, which is another area.
We'll take our break right here. It's the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Framing and Fine Gallery. We'll be right back. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, Jason Fried will join us. Mr. Fried heads up the Tucson Education Association, plus the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report with Margaret Regan. Buckmaster airs on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We've got our worldwide live streaming podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, 790-2040 if you'd like to join in the conversation. And I'm going to actually stay on this 9/11 topic rather than go more politically. So I had some things to say about Democrats joining with the president and getting the continuing resolution passed. But Don, as far as social media, what you brought up earlier in the program about 9/11, 2001, people didn't have the devices. But you speak on topics about how this whole social media has changed things.
It's changed everything. And I'll tell you a little story I tell about some of my presentations. That there's a picture of a gentleman named Ray, African. In a little village outside of Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And I was there a couple of years ago doing service work, and he showed me around his kind of homestead, mm-hmm. all dirt, couple of huts, very clean, nice family there, you know, a separate outhouse and all of that, where he raised his then place for his goats and farm and all of that. And as I was leaving, he asked me for something, and he knew I had it.
Mm-hmm.
He figured I probably would give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And if he asked you, you'd be in the same position.
Right. I think I know what he asked
for. Now you know what he asked for, which was what?
A cell phone.
Exactly. Yeah. He asked for my cell phone number because...
Number.
My cell phone number. He had a cell phone.
Okay, he had the cell phone.
More people in the world, there are more cell phones than there are indoor toilets.
But he wanted your number.
He wanted my number to communicate because location no longer matters. And this is what, bringing it back to security and 9/11, this is why we have these sometimes homegrown terrorists, certainly, that are communicating with ISIS. Our enemies have developed very specific technology and techniques and marketing and propaganda, all possible because of social media.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen that on the terrorism side, and we'll stay out of politics a little bit, but we've certainly seen that with the last election and what Russia has done.
Mm-hmm.
But that's changed everything in that way, too. Fortunately, we have a lot of great folks in the intelligence community and in the FBI that have cybersecurity departments that are looking at it. But it's an ongoing battle now because of this shift. And we were talking about the hurricanes.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for all of that. We all checked on social media to see how our friends are. We've the ability for folks to reach out and attract help and volunteers is unprecedented. But it's a different world today than it was in 2001 because of that. In some ways, more dangerous, but in some ways, safer in terms of, as Bruce pointed out, the opportunity for preparation and immediate response.
And Harvey, we saw when Harvey and the people coming together, Bruce, and not figuring, well, the government's going to be here soon, they took action right away. And I wonder if a lot of that changed from 9/11.
Well, I think we've always had a population.
a neighborhood spirit, right?
You know, whether it was raising the barn, you know, 200 years ago or helping a neighbor out when somebody was ill or somebody had died, you know, our country, and I'm sure it's this way around the world as well, and we pitch in, we help our neighbors. The things that have happened, you know, with Harvey just show it so dramatically. And through social media, we've seen more of these individual neighborhood sort of things that were going on, the Cajun Navy and so on. And you know, I think that's the sort of thing that sends a positive message to the entire country that we are united by helping our neighbors.
And look at the amount of money that was raised in that way so quickly.
Oh,
that's
yes.
unprecedented it as
is.
Well.
Richard has called us. Richard would like to join in the conversation, and we welcome him. Hi, Richard. Hi, Richard. Richard, are you there? Richard? Nope, I think we lost him.
So just going back to the money that's been raised with Harvey, and I'm sure now with Irma, you know, all of these things that sometimes are used for evil purposes, you know, have this amazing way of, you know, flip flopping and be used for very, very productive things. You're listening to Sirius Radio. You know, when you look at your Sirius Radio in the car, everything is Hurricane Harvey relief. You know,
that's
so
right.
There's millions of dollars that have been donated, you know, through people even listening to music, you know, on their Sirius Radio, you know, and I mean, this is the kind of country that we live in, the world that we live in today. Mm-hmm. You know, when something happens in France, the Facebook changes, you know, they got the French flag and everybody's, you know, with France or with, you know, Germany or wherever these things have happened.
Sure. All right. Richard is now with us. Hey, Richard.
Thank you, Bill. I just wanted to say, yes, Americans are great. We help each other. We really pitch in. But I think that our reaction after 9/11 was highly mistaken. The passing of the Patriot Act diminished our rights. Bush's illegal war in Iraq was an incredible debacle to this very day. The militarization of our police, the ongoing basically fake war on terror, in which the funding just keeps coming into the government because they keep us in fear. There's been a lot of damage done since 9/11.
Okay, Richard. Thank you very much for that point of view. Gentlemen, you want to make a comment about the negatives that grew out of 9/11?
Well, that's the flip side. As the point I was making earlier about that balance between freedom and security, there were freedoms lost, mm-hmm. no question about it, because of the Patriot Act and political actions taken, whether you agree or not, because of it, too. And you can point to the war in Iraq and all that came as a result of that. And overreaction and overreach in many areas, too.
That's not unusual, though. I mean, the overreactions that we had in the Second World War, you know, we look back with horror the things that we did, you know, whether it's with the Japanese or some of the other civil liberties. Going back to the Civil War, you know, Lincoln putting journalists in prison, judges in prison, you know, and you know, in order to keep the union fight going on. This is nothing that's new.
It's nothing new. What's different this time is all of these actions have stayed in place and have continued. They weren't temporary and such. They were the Patriot Act and similar actions.
We're still at war, though.
Thing. Well, yes, which is a whole other issue. I don't know that we have time today to hit that. But the one small point I was going to make is it also causes actions and behaviors that, as I describe it, provide the illusion of safety. You know, do you really feel safe going through TSA lines in an airport thinking that makes a difference? It's created a lot of unnecessary bureaucracies, a lot of impediments that aren't really making a difference. And that's where the review is needed to see what do we need to do to protect Americans more effectively today.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, hopefully this is not going to be a retrospective look, you know, 20 years from now looking back. Hopefully we can continue to do those things that we need to do to change that balance. It's very, very tenuous. Richard talked about militarization of the police as being a very important
it's a good point.
Thing. there's been so much conversation about that that's gone on over a long period of time. And I've been on the side of, you know, maybe we need to scale things back from time to time. And then we have some events that occur where the police clearly were no match for the opponents, the enemies that we have, whether they be domestic or foreign. There's no right answer. You know, thank goodness we have men and women who serve this country, young men and women and others who have served this country for many, many years, not just the first responders, you know, in the World Trade Center, but those people who are there to stand up for our way of life.
A lot of young people going into service because of 9/11, not just the service of the military, but other public service.
A lot of public service. We've shared that. There are members of my family, members of Bruce's extended family, too, that have done that. You know, we have a generation that have grown up with 9/11 as part of their lives and the threat of terrorism, part of their lives, war, all of that. And so it is very heartening, as Bruce pointed out, to note how many young people have looked at public service as a route for their own future and to make a difference.
I think that's a good thing. Bruce Ash, thank you very much, Bruce.
Good to see you again.
Don Jorgensen, thank you, Don.
A pleasure.
To see you.
Thank you.
Good conversation today. The Monday Political Face-Off. And that's what Mo likes. That's why Mo sponsors this segment. He likes good conversation. And from a political point of view, usually, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course on Facebook. We'll be right back with General John Wickham.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this September 11th. This portion brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Great weekend getaway, or hey, if it's the early in the week, why not? If you got the time, take a few days off. Head 3 hours east of Tucson, 15 degrees cooler up in Silver City. Visit that beautiful, relaxing environment, southwestnewmexico.org, for the complete list of great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities, some fun events over there in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now General John Wickham, U.S. Army retired, appointed by President Reagan as the 33rd United States Army Chief of Staff. Just prior to that prestigious position, he commanded all American and United Nations forces in Korea. He's the author of Korea on the Brink, about the challenges he faced during his time there on that troubled peninsula. General Wickham served two combat tours in Vietnam. He was seriously wounded on the first tour, where he earned two Silver Stars, a Bronze Star for Valor, and a Purple Heart. General Wickham served more than 40 years in uniform. He's now retired and joins us from Oro Valley. General, how are you, sir? General Wickham, how are you doing? We had a little bit of an issue there, Ray, and we'll get him back, right? There we go. While we're waiting for General Wickham, I do want to say that on this 9/11, there are so many important things that we should remember. And as we talked about in the political face-off, really just that day and what it really means to America. 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. And hopefully we'll have General Wickham with us back on the line here very quickly. We were having a little bit of a phone issue. So I'm going to take this opportunity right now to tell our listeners about one of my fine sponsors, and that is Green Valley. Green Things. Green Things is the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. And Green Things having a great location, 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. They're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And convenient location, and I think we are ready with General Wickham. General Wickham, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Bill.
Thank you, sir. General Wickham, on this day, remembering 16 years ago, on a scale of 10, 0 to 10, what's your opinion on where we are on that scale concerning terrorist threats 16 years later?
Well, first off, Bill, as you know so well, we have to keep the people that lost their lives, the thousands of dead on 9/11, in our prayers and their families. That attack originated in Saudi Arabia, and we may see more trouble from Saudi Arabia. We can talk about that later. On a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being the worst, I think the terrorist threat we face and will continue to face is around 6, thereabouts. the Al Qaeda force and the Islamic State have largely been sharply reduced in their control of the Middle East. There's still going to be people in various countries that hate the West, hate the United States, and will, in lone wolf ways, try to do attacks, terrorist attacks. And we're going to see more of that the rest of our lives, I'm afraid. But the major things, I think, are pretty much over.
General Wickham, I was reflecting in our first segment, our political face-off with Bruce Ashe and Don Jorgensen, about how 16 years ago tonight you were my guest on the TV show on Arizona Illustrated. And at that time, of course, we didn't have social media and didn't have a lot of cell phone activity. And you kind of wonder how all of that has changed, whether it's been a good thing, the social media, in maybe sort of tipping off law enforcement about potential terrorist threats.
Well, you're right, Bill. No doubt about it. The pluses and minuses of the Internet are significant. The pluses are it informs the people about history and about events that are going on, keeps them more engaged, children included, although people claim it's too much time spent on the iPhone or on the net. But that's a plus sign. The negative sign, of course, is that we lose the ability to discourse directly with people and have friendly relations. And also, it leads us to more and more to discourse that is mean-spirited and profane and immoral. We've lost the character, in a way, that we used to have years ago in our discourse. And the schools have played a role in that. They need to do a better job of trying to school children so that they speak and think and act in much more proper ways.
You know, I agree. I say amen to that, because so much of what we do have on social media, people are so quick nowadays to turn negative and say really nasty things about people that I just can't imagine. And I don't really, there's one particular incident that just came up this weekend, and I'd rather not actually share who they were talking about, but I was actually shocked that this particular local person would be attacked like that on social media. But anyway, Matthew is with us and would like to speak with General Wickham about the situation in Korea. Go ahead, Matthew.
Again, thank you for your service, General Wickham, and I agree with Bill. I think we all remember exactly where we were on 9/11. I know I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just basically get to the crux of it. You know, the administration has quietly decided to renew the issue of creating a mini nuke, a tactical way of basically limiting the yield on the battlefield. That's been something that we have, you know, not done in many, many years. I guess they're going to have to go back to Los Alamos and have those guys work on it. But apparently, are you concerned that that they're even putting that option potentially on the table with regards to North Korea? And that's it. Thank you for your, thank you.
Thanks, Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew. Well, we've had many nukes for decades. I remember when I first toured in Korea many years ago, I was commanded a platoon that had small-yield nuclear weapons.
Huh.
And we were up on the DMZ and exercised every week with these weapons. I didn't shoot any of them, mm-hmm. but I had them. And then, of course, on my second tour in Korea, I was responsible for getting rid of all the nuclear weapons. And now there's some talk in the media today that the South Koreans, some of their leaders, want us to bring back nuclear weapons and station them in South Korea. I think that would be a dumb idea. We don't need that. The North Koreans would react adversely to it. So I think that we're on the proper track. The difficulty that we're all facing now is, what do we do with the nuclear state of North Korea and the irrational leader, Kim Jong-un? Very difficult how to deal with that. The North Korea is ruled by elites, military and commercial business elites, as well as the Kim family. which they've ruled for generations and will continue to rule. We believe the North Koreans have at least 40 nuclear weapons and the makings of 40 more. We know now that they have a capability to reach the United States with a ballistic missile that's got a nuclear weapon. So the reality is we now must regard North Korea as a nuclear power and recognize that reality as we meet, if we can meet with them, and discuss things. Unfortunately, our previous position has been the only way we're going to talk to North Korea is for them to give up their weapons. Mm-hmm. They're never going to give them up. I wouldn't if I were North Korean, because it's the only thing that guarantees security in North Korea. And they're going to keep their weapons, and they're going to improve their weapons. So, but I do think that we can negotiate with them. We did with the USSR, constrained the USSR's use of weapons and their practice of getting rid of military capabilities, so by selling them. So I think that we can do the same with North Korea.
All right, General Wickham, we're going to take a break right here. We'll come back with you. And so much more to talk about with General John Wickham on the Buckmaster Show. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We have, of course, our live streaming. We're here live on the radio on AM 1030 KVOI Tucson. And by the way, we've got a great signal. I was driving back from Phoenix a couple of weeks ago and could not believe how strong KVOI comes in. I think we were, you know, that rest stop right before you get to Phoenix, not that far from the metro area, booming, KVOI, just really booming. So we've got a great reach. Of course, we're live streaming at KVOI.com and my website as well. So if you're around a computer, you're listening to the program on the live stream. General John Wickham joins us usually the first Monday of the month, unless it's a federal holiday like Labor Day, then it becomes the second Monday of the month that we have General Wickham. And we've got a couple of folks who want to speak with General Wickham, and I understand certainly why they would. Greg is first. Hey, Greg, you're with General Wickham.
Hello, Greg.
Hi, Greg. Yeah, we are having some phone problems. Certainly, it's not on Greg's end. We're having a few problems here at KVOI with our phone system. We're going to see if we can work that out. Should we go to try Eric? Let's go. Eric, how are you, sir?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Eric. Okay. We got you now.
Question. Okay, so I heard that your guest, General Wickham, state that we should negotiate with North Korea, but, you know, as the saying goes, doing the same thing over again and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. Bill Clinton negotiated with him, and Bill Clinton, after the negotiation, assured us that that would result in the dismantling of their nuclear program. It's done anything but. You know, when you negotiate with somebody, the end result of a deal is only as good as the other party is trustworthy. They've proven that they're not going to honor any sort of negotiated deal. Why would we want to do that again?
Okay, Eric, let's let the general see. Go ahead, General.
Good observation, Eric. You're right. We did have an agreement with the North Koreans. They did sign the non-proliferation treaty, and they stopped their nuclear activities and destroyed some of their nuclear production facilities as part of that agreement. The quid pro quo for the United States was to build in North Korea an electric network so that electricity could be moved all over North Korea. We failed. We did not do our part of that deal. Hmm. And that's one of the things that caused the deal to collapse with North Korea.
I had not heard that, General Wickham. So you're saying the deal from us was to do a full electrical generating plant throughout North Korea.
A grid throughout North Korea. Yes,
and we didn't hold
to do that.
Okay.
And that's so. I think we can negotiate with them, but another part of the problem has been, as I mentioned earlier, the U.S. has insisted we're not going to talk to the North Koreans unless they give up their nuclear weapons. That's not going to happen. They're not going to give them up ever, in my humble opinion. So we have to recognize North Korea as a nuclear power. And let's now see if we can constrain it the way we did with the USSR successfully. And I think we can do that if we're smart about it. But I'm not sure we're smart enough about it, or are we able to do it. For the governor of New Mexico, the former governor, has visited North Korea three or four times to help with prisoner release. Why the devil hasn't somebody in the administration asked this former governor, let's use you as a conduit with North Korea, since you know some people there? So I don't think that the administration now is really involved and willing to do the things that have to be done. And that's the danger for all Americans and people in Asia, that the North Koreans might very well
do something by mistake or by design and use nuclear weapons in our lifetime.
Well, this is what I was going to bring up with you about talking about mistake. I was going to bring this up before the break, that I worry, and I'm sure everybody's really worried about the fact, when we have one of these test launches from North Korea going over Japan, what happens if the thing fails and falls on the Japanese islands?
Exactly, Bill. That's an error, a mistake, and foolish on the part of the North Koreans to do it. And there's something else going on that could cause that to happen. I believe that we are using cyber warfare to affect the launch of weapons from North Korea, affecting their ability to ignite the weapons or to guide them. We did that. We worked with the Israelis on Iran years ago doing the same thing, and to shut down an Iranian nuclear reactor doing that. So I believe we're using cyber warfare to affect the North Koreans. All these launches that have not worked up there, that's more than an accident. I think we're involved in doing that.
790-2040, there's still time to get a call in here for General Wickham. I want to touch on the National Guard's role, General Wickham, certainly in the disaster with Harvey and now with Irma. Certainly, it does highlight, doesn't it, General Wickham, the value of the governors having National Guard capabilities at their disposal. But there's been a downside to that as well, hasn't there?
Amen. You're exactly right, Bill. Most people are not aware that the National Guard serves as a military capability for every governor. And the governor has the right to order the National Guard to active duty to deal with natural disasters or problems that are face people in the state. And what's happening now is that the active forces that have suffered so much with these wars in the Middle East, not spending enough, Congress has got this stupid sequestration law that puts arbitrary ceilings on every program in the military departments, whether the ceilings make sense or not, so that the services are trying to accumulate enough funding to correct mistakes. And so they're starting to try to close National Guard. For example, in Arizona, there's an effort underway to close the Marana National Guard facility and make it take those savings and put them into active forces. I think that would be a gross mistake because of the flying weather here, the availability of the Goldwater gunnery range, one of the best in the United States. So you're exactly right. The National Guard is a treasure, and also it serves as a repository of people leaving active service. You can go in the National Guard and serve there, and they're available for call if necessary by the governor or the national authorities.
All right, General, we have another caller. Let's see if we can work Roy in. Roy, go ahead quickly, please.
Hello, yes, Roy. In terms of the electric grid that was part of the an agreement, I was told that the reason that was discontinued is they found out the military was using the vast bulk of the electric being generated to increase the size and the ability of the North Korean army.
Okay. Thank you, Roy.
Yeah, you're right, Roy. The North Koreans did breach the agreement we had with them and about doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. And we may see some of that with the Iran nuclear deal, that Iran may do some things. But what we're finding now is from the United Nations inspectors that go into Iran, Iran is complying 100% with the agreement, despite what the Trump administration is saying. So we need to keep that agreement because it keeps the weapons build up in the Middle East at zero for the next 10 to 15 years. So on the basis of the North Korean, just if we get an agreement with them, there's a possibility of likelihood of cheating. That goes on worldwide.
All right, General Wick, I'm going to have to wrap it up with you. Is the National Guard part of your portfolio as Chief of Staff of the Army?
Yes, I had control of the National Guard in their training and promotion of people and supervision of their activities.
Okay. All right. General Wickham, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. We certainly appreciate
it. God bless, Bill. Thanks. You've got a great program.
Thank you. We really appreciate your contribution to the program. My thanks to Charles Heller, who just sent me an email. I was fumbling for the words of what the name of the rest stop is on I-10. It's Sacaton. And because I was saying that even at the rest stop there, just outside Phoenix, KVOI, really booms in. So we got a great signal there, certainly during the day, during the Buckmaster Show. We're happy to be on during the most powerful time of the day, noon to one. All right, coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw from 4 to 5. And the station still is very powerful at 4 to 5. And Ray Allen will help out Mike this afternoon. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow for the Buckmaster Show. So thank you very much to everybody for listening, whether over the radio or with the live stream. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening.